Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, right? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Then we see in Corinthians, Paul says, all things are lawful unto me. So we see here that we should be able to do all things. I bet you we've discovered by now in our personal lives that we can't do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, or as it won't. But that's not even, I'm not even going to talk about us this morning. I want to talk about Paul. This is interesting, a thought here, that we're going to look at things that Paul could not do. Because he said, I can do all things through Christ. So what is it that Paul could not do? Look at Romans chapter 7. He says in Romans chapter 7, in verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now, how can Paul preach, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, yet he says that right there. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And he's supposed to be the man with victory. He says, look at Galatians chapter 5. And we hear that word victory all the time today. All the time. Victory. Victory in our lives. Victory in our lives. I'll tell you right now, and I'll save it for, I'll just be done with it. Victory today means your flesh is happy. You find in the church where you've got victory over your sin? No. You found a church where you've got victory over an unhappy family, unhappy kids, unhappy self, whatever. Go to these churches and you'll have a pretend victory. But he says in Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 17. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. There's why we cannot do what we know we should. Now, you're just going to have to put up with a pastor who's going to preach and teach the things that we should do. Even if you can't do them, or if you choose not to do them, or find an excuse, find somebody else that's not doing it so you don't have to do it. That's just the way it is. But Paul does tell us that he doesn't do everything he knows he should. And it says right there that the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and we can't even do the things that we know we should do. And yet, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We know that there's this huge, huge rejection of Paul, teachings of Paul. People just don't understand yet why I say things like what Paul teaches in the epistles are not what Jesus teaches in the gospel. So if you're going to follow Jesus, you follow the risen Christ, and that's through Paul. They still fight that thing. It's like there's a power against it. You sit down and you talk to people, and it's like they're not even allowed to get it because you can't make it more plain. And it's like, for the obvious general things. People are going to still come up with questions and little things that they don't understand, and that's fine. I'm finding mine slowly disappear. I still have some things. But the whole concept itself is just dead in the water when you talk to people. It just seems like it is. There's a power out there that everybody wants in Christianity. They want a power in their life. They want to have power in their prayer. They want to have a faith that solves things in their lives. They want a certain power. And faith, I read this the other day, this is interesting, it was a very nice way to put it. True faith says amen to what God has already done. And said. Amen. This is what he said. Amen. Not trying to figure that thing out and just dig so deep that we just don't even live it as such. That's faith. I believe this word of God would be the I believe this Bible to be the word of God. I believe that which is perfect. I don't understand it all. Well, of course I don't understand it all for what it is. But I'm trying to learn as much as I can. My faith is that thing is the way it's written. It's going to be, that's the way it's supposed to be. I believe that's from the mouth of God. That's my faith in what He has said. Now, I have total faith in that He said what He said to me through Paul. That's my faith. Amen. That's where it's at. And I believe that what the risen Christ did, according to the Scriptures, according to Paul, I have faith that that has taken place. I just have faith in that. And that's the faith I'm supposed to have. But what we have out there is we have people, pastors and professors and store publishers and that type of a thing, putting out material that really shows people that they can have a power in their life, the power of God in their life. This is what these things are all based on. They have programs, they have booklets, they have CDs, they've got videos, they've got DVDs, they've got pamphlets, they've got full-fledged books. They've got it all. And it's all trying to show people that you can have the power of God in your life. And that's not true. Because in Acts 26:18, where Paul says, you know, turn unto from darkness unto light, he says, from the power of Satan unto God. It does not say unto the power of God. God has a power in our lives, but it is not our power to manipulate. And when you talk to people, you will, if you push the envelope at all, you're going to hear that they believe that they've got the power of God working in their lives because they're prayers, or they're good givers, or they go to church all the time, or they just have faith that God's going to give me the power to da da da. And I prayed for you, brother, and that's the power I'm going to pass on. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And people want that power. See, we don't preach a power. I don't even like the phrase higher power. That's that Alcoholic Anonymous type stuff where they have higher powers. No, I'm not talking about that. We don't have the power to heal. We're not given the power to heal. We're not even given the power to keep the law. We're not given a power to stop sinning. Now look at Acts chapter 8. Here's this guy in Acts chapter 8. He saw something take place. Acts chapter 8 verse 18. He saw something pretty exciting. This is Simon. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them what? Money. You know, if these people that put out these programs and CDs and DVDs are what they say they are, why would they not give them out? We have yet to charge for anything. I hope we don't ever have to. We put price tags on the books back there, but I just tell people to put the money in the box if they can do it, and if they can't, and they really have to have that book, then take the book. But if you can, then please do so. But I don't send bills to anybody for any of the CDs we give out or any of the sermons whatsoever. They send us money. A lot of people don't send us any money. But we're not selling anything. But Peter said unto him in verse 19, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. And that's very much like what these people are doing, is they're showing a power that you can have in your life, and here you can have this power, just give me some money, and I will send you how to have this power in your life. And this is everywhere. This is just everywhere in Christianity. I should put a box back there, and I'll put back there, instead of throwing away, I'll put back there all the garbage I get in the mail of all this kind of stuff, and you'd be amazed. I don't want to do it because some of you might take the book home and go, hey, this looks pretty good. Maybe this will fix my marriage. No, just not. So, how did Paul, who obviously was the greatest Christian since Christ because he wrote the rest of the New Testament based on what Christ told him to write, how could Paul miss this power that everybody's talking about? For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. He's missed the power here. And yet we know that we're supposed to follow Paul. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what? Do. Be ye followers of me, he says, as I also am of Christ. And yet Paulson. Now we're slipping if I start preaching Paulson now. But Paul also said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. So here we got a guy that met with Christ, and he preaches that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And then he admits that he hasn't done everything that he's supposed to do, and he's done things he shouldn't have done. And yet he says, and he's content. What's with this guy? Why is he not miserable? Because he's not doing what he knows he's supposed to be doing. Or he did some things he shouldn't have done. And he says to people, hey, I can do all things through Christ. And I don't know what it is he didn't do. I don't know what it is he should have done that he didn't do. But it didn't bother him. He was content. Ever think about that? I would say this just off my cuff here, I guess, this morning. Is it a cuff? Off my cuff. Maybe this is my cuff. I don't know. That whatever it is that he did or did not do or whatever, I bet you didn't do it in front of anybody. I don't know. And not that he was out there hiding under the rock somewhere doing stuff he shouldn't have done. I'm sure he's talking about things that Christ would have him do. I just don't know. He was a very base individual, very bottom earthy kind of a guy. God uses base things of this world. That's where Paul's coming from. Chiefest of sinners, he said. I think when we read in Isaiah or Ezekiel, we read in there how people are going to look at the devil and they're going to go, you're the devil? That you're the one that stirred up this whole world? Yeah, I think we're going to look at Paul. Well, of course, he's going to be in a different state now, but if we were to see Paul, we'd go, who's that guy in the back pew there, Louis? What's this guy? Who's this guy? Introduce yourself there, buddy. I'm Paul. Serious? Your dress isn't long enough. I mean, how can you be Paul, you know? Your hair's not short or whatever. You got a goatee. What's with a goatee, Paul? I hate goatees on modern Christians today. But anyway. So, what is it? Got a couple of things here. What is it that Paul could not do? Here's a couple. Look at Romans chapter 3. Here we go. So maybe I do know a few things that Paul could not do that he should have done. No, I'm not looking at it that way. This thing is called what Paul could not do, even though he says he could do everything. So are we talking about specific day-to-day, everyday things in our life? Romans chapter 3, verse 12, part of that verse says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. You know one of the things Paul couldn't do? He couldn't keep the law. Couldn't keep the law. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. In 14 he says, I am carnal, sold under sin, of chapter 7. I'm carnal, sold under sin. And then those verses in Romans chapter 7, the chocolate verses for Louis. For what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that do I. So he couldn't keep the law. Well, why couldn't he keep the law? Look at Galatians chapter 3, if you would. Why couldn't he keep the law? There's three answers to this one here. First of all, Galatians chapter 3, verse 22 taught Paul that he needed a Savior. So he was not able to keep the law. He was not able to because nobody can. And that was when he found out he needed a Savior. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Galatians 3, 22, 23, and 24. That's what that's talking about. The law still needs to be there. And people are told that they need Jesus. Why do they need Jesus? Well, you need to go to heaven. You need to have Jesus to go to heaven. Okay, I'll take Jesus. I'll invite him into my heart. No, they need to have that law preached of what it is that's righteous, what's right, for them to find out that they can't do that. So they do need a Savior. It brings them to Christ. Then if you go back to Romans chapter 7, so that was one reason why Paul couldn't keep the law, because he couldn't. But he found out that he needed a Savior. Now, Romans chapter 7, what else was a problem? Why couldn't Paul keep any law? Well, Romans chapter 7. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. So what's, why could, he had sin in him. This is Paul. He had sin in him. You know, the whole spiritual circumcision cut away from the flesh, that sin was still there. It's just still there. Aren't you ever disappointed or shocked or hurt by somebody today that's a Christian, saved, husband, wife, kids, whatever, if kids are, I don't know that situation yet, but older people, and they do something really rotten. And you go, oh, I thought they were a Christian. Well, they could be. It's just that sin won that one. Does that make sense? That's a big one. If anybody crashes hard, just remember that. It wasn't them that did that. It's the sin that's in there that did that. And it took him down. You can't get over the shock. Well, get over the shock. It could happen to you too. Paul talks about that. And if we can ever get a hold of that, boy, I'll tell you what, that'd be amazing. That's how we look at other people. And then there's a third reason. And this is my favorite one. Paul learned that there was no law to keep. And this is the one I want us to get a hold of. Paul learned that there was no law to keep. He says in Romans 7, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. It's still there for the lost to realize they need Christ. But once you have Christ, that law is over. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Isn't that marvelous? That's another one we got to really grasp hard. What, realize, listen, we needed the preacher, we needed that law, we needed that Old Testament, we needed the Gospels to show us that we can't do it without Christ. He takes us to Christ, we find out that there's still sin in here, and all these modern Christians are teaching that there's no more sin, you follow Jesus and you'll quit sinning. That's not true. And if you do sin, confess up. That's not true. Tribulation book, gospel book. Paul teaches a risen Christ, spiritually circumcises us, away from the flesh. The sin is still there. The devil can be there. Devils can still be there in the flesh. But our soul is fine. And I'm talking with some guys the last couple days that say that our soul, these are King James, Bible-believing, Ruckman graduates, been in our church, and they say that, well, our soul isn't totally sealed. Excuse me? What are you talking about? No, there's still sin in our bodies doing what it wants to do. And he says in Romans, I think it's 8, that we choose to serve that sin. And we do. But my favorite one is, there is no law to keep. Let's look at Romans. Well, let's look at Romans, let's go to Romans 6. Romans 6. So now, number two, some things that Paul couldn't do. We've kind of already talked about. The first one was keep the law. He couldn't do it. He needed a Savior. Number two here would be in Romans 6, the title here would be Live Victoriously Over Sin. We've already kind of talked about those verses. He messed up. He tripped up a number of times. Romans 6:3 starts with so many of us, skip down a couple words, there's so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Romans verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Romans 6:11. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. So see, there is no law. So where's this victorious life over sin? He didn't have any. Sin was still there. It was still happening. So we had to claim, you hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses in Colossians. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. So apparently, Paul, greatest Christian since Jesus Christ himself, couldn't keep the law. And then he found out there's no law to keep. And yet he still tripped up. Couldn't have that victory all the time. And what do they say in all these programs, all these booklets, and all these sermons, and all this Great Commission stuff in modern Christianity? Have victory. Have victory in your lives. Well, you need to have victory in your lives. It's good when you make a change in your life. That's a victory. It's a victory. But it's not some program. It's not some music. It's not some church something or other that's going to give you that victory. God gave us the victory. He took care of the law, so we have no law to keep. And if anything stirs up and gets messed up in our lives, it isn't us that did it. It's the sin that's in there. And He'll take care of the things that we follow and serve sin at the judgment seat of Christ. He won't take care of us there. He'll take care of the works that we do. So yes, we have a victory. But it isn't because of us. Does that make sense? Well, I'll tell you, if we could grab onto that thing more than we can, it was just a very, very marvelous thing. Let me throw this one at you. This is officially a bunny trail. Remember, you used to announce them ahead of time, so when we get back on trail, I'll tell you when it's over. This is officially a bunny trail. Do we need an advocate today? Well, advocate, we know Jesus Christ is our advocate. You've heard that. Do we need Him today as an advocate? Well, it's in the Bible. Where is it at in the Bible? 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 2. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Of the fact that there is no law at this point, do we need an advocate? Let me just read a little paragraph for you here. We have no law for the need of an advocate. Right? It isn't that He's just telling us that we're clean and when we mess up, He's there being our lawyer to cover. No, there is. We're not even assigned a law. So we're not even assigned a sin. Make sense? What our flesh is doing is sinning. It's wrong. Not a problem with it. We understand that. But as far as we ourselves go, do we need an advocate? If there is no law, then who needs a lawyer? Wouldn't that be nice? When will they need a lawyer, an advocate? When there's a law. When is there going to be a law again? Tribulation. Where do you find the one verse that says they need an advocate? In the Tribulation book. Case closed. We don't need a lawyer today. We don't need an advocate today. There will be no charges put against us. There's no law to make the charge. Should have just made this our sermon. This is marvelous. All of our sins, past, present, and future, have been brought up to judgment and paid for. Christ paid the penalty for them. And when Christ died, the prosecuting attorney was taken out of the way. Sin. And put to death. He became sin and he died. But he rose again and the law was taken care of. So we don't have any charges to put against us. So if there's no charges put against us, why do we say we need an advocate today? And I said this. This was one of those words that was bugging me for years though. Why do we need an advocate? I don't understand. And it's just in 1 John. Because in 1 John they will need an advocate. They will need a lawyer. Because they will be told to walk the walk and follow the law. We that are dead, we that are saved are dead. Right? Romans chapter 8. And we're free from sin. We're made free. Sin is still there. We're not set free. See what the modern Bible say? We're set free. No, we're not set free. We're still in this body. Sin is still in our flesh. But on the inside, we are made free. So if on the inside, which is where we are at, we have no law to accuse us of doing anything wrong, so we have no need of an advocate. What about those things we do? What about those things that we can all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient? Well, yeah, that's what the judgment seat of Christ is for. Take care of those things. Isn't that neat? I just, that's it. That was last night. That was it. There's one of those. I got it solved. I see this. I understand this stuff. Again, a little bit more. So, Paul was living a victorious life. Not necessarily all the time, but he was victorious because of what Christ did to him. Gave him the victory, took care of the law, no sins were being charged, and anything that you do, you're going to follow the flesh. It's going to either come out and be it was a good thing you did based on Paul's teachings, or it's a bad thing, it'll burn up in the judgment seat, or give you the reward. By the way, you have to believe that this King James Bible is the Word of God to believe that, because you won't find that anywhere else. They change all that stuff around. Modern Christians think they've been set free. Follow Jesus and you quit doing all the things you're doing wrong. But when you do, fast it up and you'll still be back in the family. And you'll be back in the vine. That kind of a thing. Now, could you explain that to somebody if you had to? 1 John 2:1. Try to do the advocate thing. I wrote to these guys and said, okay, drop all previous conversation. Do we need an advocate today as a Christian? And here it comes. Well, yeah, da-da-da-da-da. Oh, please. Now, let's go back on the trail. We're back on the trail officially. You with me? We're going to get back. We're talking about the things that Paul could not do. He could not keep the law. There was no law to keep. But anyway, he could not keep the law before he was saved. He couldn't do it. He found out he needed a Savior. And then he couldn't live victoriously over sin. There was still sinning going on. And then 3... Paul cannot save himself. You would certainly think if anybody could, it would be Paul. Oh, we know that's not true. He says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But here's my point. This power that everybody's trying to sell out there to people has the power to change your lives, change your family, change all these things, and to become the Christian you're supposed to become with this power that he gives us. All that kind of talk, here's one. Be he that shall endure unto the end. You know what you need to endure to? You need some kind of a power to help you endure to the end. Here's one. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Here's one. You shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Here's one. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. Here's one. Be thou faithful unto death. You know what you need to do? You need power to do that. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame. You know what people want? They want a power. You know what Paul didn't have? Paul didn't have that power. Paul did not have to endure unto the end. He endured hardness as a soldier, but he didn't have to endure and overcome all this stuff until the end. So when he died, he goes to be with the Lord. Didn't have to do that. Those verses I read to you are Matthew, John, early Acts, and Revelation. None of that's from Paul. So the whole issue here is the fact that this modern Christianity is just opposite of what Paul preaches. Paul is trusting somebody where it says he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. It says here in Romans again, who was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered for our offenses. He doesn't change our offenses. He was delivered for them. And was raised again for our justification. Okay, here's another one. Number 4. Number 1, he could not keep the law. He needed a Savior. Number 2, he couldn't live victoriously all the time over sin. And three, Paul cannot save himself. Didn't have the power to do any of that stuff. Number four, this is a big one. Paul could not bind Satan. He could not do the Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus to get away or whatever. Put your fingers up and make a shape of a cross, kind of a thing. First Thessalonians 2:18. I left that out and I cannot leave that out. So we couldn't stop the devil from getting in his way. He told us in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God. He couldn't fight him against the wiles, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul couldn't do it. He needed to have the armor of God. But 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul says, listen, for if we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. He couldn't stop Satan from stopping him to go see these people. Paul could not stop the devil. He could not bind, as they say it today. That's one of the things I don't like about chick, one of the many things about chick tracts, is they've always got somebody in there binding Satan with either their prayer or their put their hand up and all this kind of stuff. Chick tracts are just charismatic to the max, more than they've ever been, and their invitation at the end is weaselly worthless. And it's not words, it's pictures. And God does not want us to put this stuff into pictures. I understand the benefit of chick tracts, so I've been there a million times. Pictures, kids can't read anymore anyway, so let's give them pictures. But we got to show them how to read. We got to read it to them or something. It perks an interest, yes, but does it steer them into an image of a Jesus? Just think about that. All the tracts that we've given out that have a picture of Jesus in there, and to these little kids who can't read words, and they grow up and never been able to read it, and yet what have we done? We planted the seed of a picture, so when the real Antichrist comes and it matches what these kids have been taught by our chick tracts, what have we done? What have we done? What would we do otherwise? I don't know, but I don't do the chick tracts anymore. I had a couple for the Muslim thing because it's still interesting to learn. We got the Mormon booklet. We can learn that way, I guess. But boy, I'll tell you what, images are setting up the Antichrist for everybody. And it's hard to find a tract to give to people. Well, maybe we ought to just change our lives and let us be the tract with people that we know. I do believe that one brochure. Where I remember there was a man that went down into Mexico and had like 10,000 tracts. He's been here. 10,000 tracts, and he got down there in the truck, and they'd drive through these Mexican towns. They'd throw them out of the back of the truck, and they would count all the people reading them. And he said that those people got saved. He's been here. 10,000. Where did it come up with 10,000, 18,000 people? We gave out 20,000 tracts. Most of them are reading. It must have been at least 18,000 people reading that stuff. I know they got saved. That's what they do. I mean, I've heard it. It's amazing. Okay, so there was one. Number four, Paul couldn't bind Satan. Satan actually hindered the guy. How about number five? Here's another one. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Here's something else Paul couldn't do. Why couldn't he do it? 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul couldn't heal. By the time he was done with his ministry, he couldn't heal. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Like, what kind of advice is that from a healer? Can you see Benny Hinn telling his wife, here, take a couple aspirins. I don't know what to do for you. I got to get to church. I got to heal 500 people tonight. And she's sitting in bed with the flu. Can't you just touch me before you leave and heal me a little bit? No, I can't do that, honey. You have no faith. Or whatever, you know. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. 2 Timothy 4:20. Bunch of frauds everywhere. 4:20. What's with this? Now here's Paul winding down his time here. Been healing people. And people have been touching his handkerchief and got healed, right? Isn't that Paul? That was Paul, wasn't it? It wasn't Peter, it was Paul. you want to touch my handkerchief, you'll get sick. I'll guarantee it. It's just the opposite. And now he says in 20, Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Thank you, Mr. Healer. What's with that? Paul couldn't heal people by the time his ministry was done. And we have a hard time recognizing that Paul's ministry actually changes. His powers, his capabilities as such. He could heal. He had that at the beginning. But look at, who couldn't he really heal the most? Who would you heal the most if you had the healing ability? And don't say everybody else. You would start with yourself. These glasses, gone, I'm telling you. The nose, it's gone. Not gone, I mean it'd be smaller. Walk around with a big hole right in there. That wouldn't work either, you know. I wouldn't have enough time to heal everybody else. I started with my, but that's the right start. My hearing is going here. Well, you wear the thing. Well, that could have something to do with it. But it's like Paul says, listen, I can't heal you anymore. I'm sorry. What, Paul? Listen, chapter 1, you could. You know, we've been talking here lately, and we got to realize that even Paul has to be rightly divided. You ever think about that? We've talked about it before. But there was times in Paul's ministry where he didn't have the Bible. So in those days, all those verses that said, yes, Paul, God gave those people that understanding. Paul had that healing. But by the time he was done, he couldn't heal anybody. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, he said unto me. My grace is sufficient for thee. Three times he went, Lord, this hurts. This is that thorn in the flesh. Three times. And all the Lord said back to him is, my grace is sufficient for thee. You've got arthritis, you've got the flu, you've got cancer, you've got brain drain. I mean, whatever it is we got that's going on, his grace is sufficient. And it's easy for me to say because I don't have cancer that I know of. I don't have arthritis that I know. I got signs of it. I don't have the heart arthritis that some of you folks have. I don't have the brain drain, although I'm getting tired of some stuff. Don't go there. His grace is sufficient. We've got his grace until we go. Goldie's in the hospital. It's not an Alzheimer's thing. It's actually a physical problem. May not make it in the next couple days. Don't know. But she's got God's grace. His grace is sufficient. What's LD going to have to turn to intently here? God's grace. And he has to turn to us. So we better be there. I think we will be. But I can't heal him. I can't heal her. You know, the doctors are going to do? They're going to practice healing her. They're going to practice fixing that type of thing. LD told me that the doctor told him that she has two bladders. That's unheard of. That, to me, they're probably wrong, but who knows? And I guess they're thinking about they need to get rid of one of them. No, you don't. See what they're going to do? They start cutting. Well, LD needs some grace. He needs some friends. And her daughters have been just horrible, by the way. Been horrible to her. The last couple of days has been horrible. And to LD. So, Paul, the guy, couldn't heal by the time he was done. And what do we have out there in this modern Christian world telling everybody God will what? Heal you. I'm praying for you, Bill. I'll pray that God heals you. And all it tells him is, well, that prayer didn't get answered. And as he hurts more and more and the prayers aren't getting answered, what is that? That's folly of a modern Christian that does not work, does not happen. Well, I'm sure the people say the same thing to Goldie. And then what about all these people that Paul did heal? What about all these people that he taught to teach Paul's doctrine? And here Paul was healing. Why didn't they come and heal Paul? Why didn't he pass on this healing kind of a thing? So Paul couldn't heal. And in fact, who was hanging around him half the time, most of his ministry? What did he have in his little crew there? He had a doctor. Luke. It's amazing stuff. So what do we have this morning? We just have a simple little sermon on the fact that, you know, even though Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, there are things that we can't do, just like Paul. We couldn't keep the law. We realized that we needed Christ. Are we living victoriously over sin? Everybody's got our problems. But Christ took care of the law, so there's no sin being imputed. marvelous response to that thing. Are you still trying to save yourself? I think it's in Colossians where he says this: why would you begin in the spirit and then try to get back into the flesh, make everything perfect again? Why would you try to do that? It wasn't possible beginning, won't be possible now. We're just going to learn what it is that pleases God. Let's try to do those things. Why is that so hard? I know it's hard to do those things, but why is it so hard to hear that and get preached at it, even constantly? So what? And he couldn't bind Satan. You can't bind Satan. You can't bind his little satanic little buddies. You can't bind your flesh. Your flesh is flesh. You can deny it. You can stop it. But after a while, you're going to eat that stupid donut. You just are. You're going to look at something that you just shouldn't look at. You're going to do something you know you shouldn't do. And maybe not. Maybe you're finally going to get a small victory over that particular thing, and maybe to you it is not a small victory at all. I'll say it again. I haven't turned on television for the longest time. I'm amazed. Is it because I'm just too busy, too concerned, too depressed, too discouraged, too or whatever it is? No. The last time I did, I recognized how stupid it was. I'll probably do it again. I'll probably go over to somebody's house, no heaven on, and get caught up in this thing or whatever. Betty, our lady at the nursing home, Betty. I asked her, what things have changed in your life since you've heard these things? And she says, and then you've got to talk about television. She's noticed on television, it's a waste of brain. It's just a waste of time. It's a waste of brain. And pretty soon some of you folks are going to get a hold of videos and Christian videos and the time it wastes and the modern teachings that comes across that thing. And someday you're going to get into documentaries when you realize that these documentaries probably aren't all true. And I'm not trying to crab at those things, but maybe sometimes different people are going to come up with different... You know, I'm done with that. My time. The image thing. Games. I know that none of us have ever tried to heal ourselves. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. Diet programs. Exercise programs. How many things could we not eat 5 years ago that we're eating now and we were eating then and now we're not? And before, we're drinking different water now. About a year, we're probably going to find out that that thing has put in some kind of radioactive element and this is why we're all losing our hair or something. I don't know. Maybe yours will go back to blonde. Well, yeah, Dave, get some water home with you. I'm not knocking it because it's fine. I'm enjoying that stuff, but what's going to happen in a couple of years? We're going to find out that now I'm allergic to lettuce. Boy, would I like to find that out. Because you've been having too much lettuce. Haven't you noticed your nose is going all the time and your ears are big? And you ever look in the mirror behind you, got a little tail starting to grow back here. Too much lettuce for you. Whoa, fine. What's on the lettuce? Is lettuce naturally green? I think it is, but maybe not. I mean, they spray all this stuff in the stores. We'll grow our own lettuce. Yeah, but we got stuff in the dirt. Please. Okay, I'll grow my lettuce in the water. Your water hasn't passed the test yet. Well, okay, then I won't do that either. Yeah, I'm just stalling for you to get up and go turn this thing off. Thank you. What am I going to have to say then? Get up and turn this thing off. Okay, there you go.